But what I've been sensing is that the title would be "I Am Forgiven," you know, of what we're going to share tonight. But with this dog bite that I sustained, it's been pretty serious, and it's been a long time. So it's been January 10th when the dog bite, and this is February 10th. So I'm going, oh, I'm thinking on that. And I'm going, no, it's been a whole month, and there's still a lot of weeks in front of me, a lot of delicate stuff, and I'm just asking the Lord, no more surgeries, you know, give me help with that, you know, and that kind of stuff. But it's given me time to pause. And because of my schedule, I have to go every single day to the hand clinic, you know, for the rehab and you know, all and the hourly hand exercises and all that. So it's just like a lot of concentration on the hand. But it's because of that, I'm not able to do a number of other things. So I'm just kind of tucked away at my place, just doing these exercises or traveling to the rehab. And lately, it just I don't know why it's been going. It's just been hitting in my heart. I am forgiven with such a depth that I've never had before. And it just I don't know. God just softens us, I think, during the times of injury or sickness. And you know, as we kind of sit back a little, which we wouldn't ordinarily. And I do tend to run on a little high test. You know, I tend to run myself to the ground crazy. But at this particular point, I just was almost to the point of crying to understand that I am forgiven, because I know that I have sinned. Before I came to know the Lord, I would have, if I died, I was unclean. I did not know Him. I had not given my heart to Him. I would have been in hell, and He truly saved me from that. But as I was musing on the I am forgiven, and I was thinking on some of the hand therapy that I go, they have to use these machines that cause a lot of pain, and it's to break up the scar tissue underneath and to keep the ligaments so that they won't grow together to cause my hand not to work, or that the ligaments won't shorten to make my hands go straight. So I mean, there's a lot of work that's being done to make my hand workable again. But the pain that I've had the last few days when they put this machine, it's like a needle on the end of the machine, and it's like shoots electric in there. And I described it as like someone taking a very thin nail and pounding it into my joint, pounding it into the scar area, pounding it into my palm. And when she did that in the palm of my hand, it is so sensitive. That's where the surgical incision is, as well as the dog bite. And the rest of it is, the other fingers are involved in all this, and it's all so super sensitive. And that's right where she has to stick this needle and shoot that stuff in. And I was like just dying, but it just came to mind. It just broke me, really, just like the pain that Jesus must have had in having a railroad spike driven through His hands and His feet, and just all the sufferings that He went through, and it was for my sin. Not mine alone, but, you know, ample enough, but for all the sins of all the world. I mean, what a burden, what pain. And it's just like, I don't know, I'm not like the Lord showed me that, I'm just saying, thought of that, and then that came in conjunction with I'm forgiven. And just when I was going through over some of the scriptures, when Jesus came, He talked about forgiveness. And a lot of scriptures, when He said, you're forgiven, your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven. And what was the religious people's response to that in Mark 2:7? They mocked Him, and they go, hey, who can forgive sins but God alone? They weren't willing to understand that it isn't just something you chit-chat about. Jesus came with this new way. There is forgiveness of sin. Everything else in the scripture, all the blood sacrifices and the laws and the rules, all that stuff, none of it cleansed you. None of it cleaned you from your sin. It allowed you to get in God's presence upon occasion. It allowed you to show that you were worshiping God and deferring to Him, which was good, but none of it forgave you for your sins. It wasn't until Jesus came, and He was lining up to go to this sacrifice, which I don't really know if He knew the fullness of what the pain was going to be, but He knew it was going to be the sacrifice of His life for us. And it just really, really stuck. It's just like echoing in my head, and it still is in my head and my heart, that God has forgiven us. of our sins, and we really need to understand this. And it's not something new. It's like I'm saying, I'm just like, I'm talking to us and I'm sharing with people who well understand forgiveness, but I don't know. I just can only hope that God can convict our hearts and just show us this is something new. This is a newer depth of appreciation, a newer depth of, oh my gosh, it applies to me. I am forgiven. And whoa. Now, there's something very important in Luke in chapter 7. I have to read this because it shows so much. Luke chapter 7. And it starts with verse 36. And he says this. Now one of the Pharisees the religious guys here, was requesting him, meaning Jesus, to dine with him. So Jesus entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And so I'm seeing my name all over her. And when she learned that he, Jesus, was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with her at the hair of her head and kissing Jesus' feet and anointing them with perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who's touching him, and that she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, that Pharisee, I have something to say to you. And he replied, oh, say it, teacher. And he gave him a little parable, and he says, a certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love that man more? And so the Pharisee Simon answered and said, well, I suppose the one whom he forgave more money. And Jesus said to him, you have judged correctly. And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. Mm-hmm. For she loved me back much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. And he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sin? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And that just struck me. I have been forgiven much. And he was showing me, the one who has done much, you don't need to feel badly about it, because you're going to love him more. You really, when he forgives you, you really understand that, because you did crummy stuff. And what he was showing me with that, in Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14. And so it's a message to all of us, who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, he's telling us what to do. Put on a heart of compassion. We are so judgmental with each other. We give everyone an inch and we want to take a mile. Well, God's forgiven us of much. We can't forget that. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. I just see that in light of what we spoke about the adversary coming against us all the more, and in light of what we spoke, we have to keep remembering. Stop listening to the darkness and the depression and you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Look at the bad thing. You did that again. You did that again. You did that again. God says, I don't care. I've forgiven you. You're with me. I'm going to bring you through this. I'm going to bring you to the point that I'm going to rule you more than you're going to rule yourself. And that thing that you're in travail and sinning is not going to rule you again. And it's just so powerful. And if he's doing that to us, it says God has canceled your sin. if God said it, he can't lie. And then it's, I'm not going to read you every scripture that confirms that, but in Psalm 86:5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. And in Nehemiah, this is another one that just tells us about when I am forgiven. Some people say, I can't go to church, I can't come to God until I get it all straight first. We've all heard that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand what God says. In Nehemiah 9:17, and they refused to listen. He's talking about the chosen people of God. And they did not remember your wondrous deeds, which you performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And you did not forsake them. That's back in the Old Testament, when it was, you know, just in his face they were coming against him. The point is that God forgives even when we rebel. It's not an excuse to sin, but when you truly understand, I am forgiven, it humbles you. It makes you look at other people with different eyes, with a compassion, with a willingness to love them through until they can get to where God wants them to be. And in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, key, don't keep excusing it. Hey, well, God knows. God, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us
from all unrighteousness.
And that was such a key point. In that forgiveness, we're clean. It's not our good works, and we know that. But the appreciation, I think that's what the word is, Lord. The appreciation that I am forgiven has been so deep and so full on me lately. It's just been unbelievable. And I would hope that it would happen to each one of us to be able to cherish that. In Ephesians 4:30-32, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about. Not excuse for sin. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And if I am forgiven, then others surely are. And I just wanted to share that tonight. Just, there were some very powerful scriptures here and some of the things that the Lord's been sharing with my heart.